Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe in the concept of an independent diaspora nation state for the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, the biggest crime in the history of humanity? Are you tired of black African people being scattered across a diaspora, living as second and third class citizens in foreign lands? Should black African people have their own Israel? If you believe and support any of these positions, check out the BAIO Social Network on Ming. People with various thoughts and opinions on reality coming together with like mind toward a singular goal and common denominator, land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Visit BAIOAfricStan5.ming.com. That's BAIOAfricStan5.ming.com. Black African power and a Bibi Fahodie. Total African liberation. Peace.
Is this what you want to be their entertainment, their playthings? Their pets? Cowering beneath a whip. And then fighting amongst ourselves. Is this what you want? I've lived by their rules my entire life. I've protected them. Envied them. And for what? To be treated like an animal. We are not animals! We do have a choice! We can choose to be more than this! We can be slaves! Or we can be!
You are now listening to 13 Revolution on BAIO Radio. Here is your host, Minister Dawood Mohammed.
Yes, hey.
I love you and you love me. There's no other love like you.
ending up persuading you with conversations that consist of solicitation, forced information. See, I deal with sophistications with the lobster style. You see me dressed up proper in crocodiles, taco wild. I leave alone unofficials, it's not your style. My inner vision is just plush life living. Me escaping this inner city prison, raping our women, it's causing havoc. Waking bonds that birth marriage. This earth was once lavish, now it's cursed, left for a savage. Mind, I tech mind, respect mind, less connect. Project flex, wet sex, and wine all the time. The firm staff on the climb. Now it's the trio, D'Angelo, AZ, and Primo. You know how we go. We go from affiliation. 9-6.
Hotep, peace, black African power. It's your host once again, Brother Minister Daoud, bringing the 13 Revolution Experience to BAIO Radio, delivering the content that continues to provoke people to think about the three words that we always talk about and the one question that we ask: land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Question being, what is the end game? I'm so happy, grateful to Allah to be here once again on a Thursday night. This time, I am not here by myself. I'm happy to say that we have finally secured some black women energy. We have some queens here tonight. These are sisters that I personally know, sisters in my circle, and sisters that I admire and have a great love for. Brothers and sisters, if you're new to BAIO Radio, as we always say, BAIO stands for Black African Infrastructure Organization. We are a collection of brothers and sisters that live in America that believes that the answer to our problem is land, infrastructure, and nationhood. We do not believe that you can build a nation within a nation. We do not believe that the answer to our questions is through the regular political channels, and we have tried the black movement thing for so many years. We believe that if you acquire land, if you control infrastructure, and you are able to fly your own flag and claim nationhood, that would be the beginning of the correcting of the problems that we have as a people. However, we as a people have tried to do it here. So we believe that the host nation, and we understand that the host nation should be off the shores of America, under the jurisdiction of your oppressor. And when we ask the question, what is the end game? We are asking you, if you're in an organization, if you're in a group, if you're in a political movement, if you call yourself an activist, what is the end game? What is the end result? Where are you going? Because too many people have been treading water in your standard stock staple organizations for so many years and have not gotten anywhere. And so we at the BAIO, we are busy attempting to correct this problem. We want to build a modern industrial nation off the shores of America, and with the help and the use of people from the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics fields, as well as brothers and sisters who are skilled administrative minds and skilled laborers. With that said, like I said before, you usually hear me myself and maybe some callers tonight, but tonight I have the honor and the pleasure to introduce three sisters that are in a group of mine that we meet once a week. These sisters are very, very intelligent, beautiful sisters, and I have had the honor of working with them, talking with them, and bonding with them, so I felt that it would be prudent that I bring them to you as a community and let you feed off of their ideas and their energy. And I won't give away what makes them unique, but I will say to you is this: all three sisters are business owners. In fact, the business is a family business, and the bond between them is like unlike any you've ever seen. So, you know, I'm going to stop talking at this particular time. Brothers and sisters, it is my pleasure my humble honor to bring in my team to represent the organization. I can
hear the radio channel in the background. All right, do you have it coming through the computer? Peace and love,
Hello? Hey!
Hey, I think I'm coming through the computer.
You're coming through the phone. But you're good. You can hear us clear, right? Can you hear us clearly?
Yeah, we can hear. I just hear echo.
Okay.
Anyway,
we don't hear the
echo. How are you doing today?
Is there something that... We're good. We're all right. We're doing well. We're doing well today. And yourself, how's the baby?
Baby's doing good. Trying vigorously to sleep and not having much success. but you know all about that.
Yes.
So please introduce yourself to people.
My name is Margot Jones, and I am the one of the owners and operators of Molly Natural Products. And
fantastic,
my name
fantastic.
Is Marcia Jones, and I'm one of the owner-operators of Molly Natural Products. And my name is Amina Jones, and I am one of the owners and operators of Molly Natural Products as well. How this works is the first one that you heard from was Margo, which is our older sister. I'm the second, and the third person you heard from, Amina, is Margo's daughter, my niece. Yes. So, yes, we're all
okay,
family.
Okay. Okay, so okay, I guess the first question is for Sister Margo. We're going to jump right into this. Tell us about yourself and your role with this family.
Well, I am the creator of our shea butter or our body butter, the innovator of the skincare products. I am also the researcher, public speaker, educator of Molly Natural Products, and that is my function.
Fantastic. Can you please tell the people what caused you to do what you do? Because from what I understand, you do the holistic part of it, the healing part of it. Then you have Sister Marcia that does the basic. Your story about how you decided to come into your product is very compelling. Tell people about that.
Well, I found myself from a teenager to have very sensitive skin, which caused many problems, health issues for which when you are part of the American Western indoctrination, you basically use Western medicine as your means basically to try to heal yourself or fix yourself. So through that and years of doing that, I just noticed that my health and everything was getting worse and not getting any better. And then I finally decided that there had to be something else, something that I was missing, something that I wasn't aware of, and I needed to go out and find it.
Basically, that's how I
ended up on the journey to holistic alternatives to healing.
Now, you studied all sorts of skin, and the difference between melanated skin and other people's skin, can you tell people about that?
Yes. It's really amazing when you basically go about your everyday experience in this country, especially of Westernization, you basically just take for granted that everybody is the same, because when you go to the doctor, they're telling you the same thing. things of that nature. But when I started doing my study of skin, I found out, remarkably, that all skin is not the same. And that melanated people and people who are non-melanated have different skin conditions and different skin needs. Same thing with diet needs, too, but I was really focusing on that, and I was really surprised to find that out and find that we have unique and special needs to nourish our skin.
Indeed.
Now,
could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
I said, can you tell us some of the whole of the features that you were on?
That you were on. Well, I found out from my study basically that melanin is cousin to chlorophyll. The only thing that's different is that we have that chlorophyll has actually one more incident of magnesium than melanin has, and that in both instances, we, chlorophyll and melanin, require a lot of magnesium to promote healthy skin or, you know, melanated content. So from that, I was able to find out different things that supported that by putting in different oils and different vitamins that we actually need within the shea butter or the body butter, actually. I was able to come up with a recipe that actually supports our skin.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
All right. So I guess the question number two would be, can you tell us a story about your namesake? And you know, there's a story that's returning about your namesake and how. You know, there's another fine woman in your family that has that, and please tell these people a brief story about it.
Well, one of my ancestors, which would be my grandmother. I was named after her, and I always was very proud of being named after my grandmother because she was a very powerful and unique woman. And anyone that came in contact with her were basically taken by her love, by her beauty, by her kindness, by her knowledge. Everyone was always taken by that. I thought it was just me, but when I saw her interact with other people, I realized that she had a power within herself. When my father passed, I had to go to Mississippi where my grandparents and my dad was from, and being there at my dad's funeral, the people at the church where my grandmother went, which was a church which you know in the South is huge, over 200 people in the church that she attended. So there were people that wanted to meet me. One of the family friends kept telling me these people wanted to meet me, and finally I said, okay, I'll meet these people, even though I don't really know who they are, and I'm a little annoyed that they want to meet me because I've never, I mean, I met them as a child, but, I mean, I don't remember. But they wanted to meet me, and I thought it was only a few people, but it was like 50 or more people who wanted to meet me. And it was
really powerful
because they just talked about how much they loved my grandmother and how much of a beautiful person she was, and I could identify with that because of the love that she instilled in me. So I said, wow, I mean, I really would like to leave that legacy when I transcend like she did. together that was going to live together and explain to my nieces and nephews what was going to go down, what was happening, and why this was happening. And everybody was in agreement with it. I had to explain myself because I'm a lot different from what they were used to. Because they would see me as just the auntie, but now we were going to be living together, so you're going to be seeing me in other roles too, because I'm there not just monetarily to help the family, but physically, spiritually, and whatever way I could help my sister.
Right, right.
You know, so, yeah, it was, I mean, everybody has different personalities, and you don't get along all the time, but the bottom line is that your family, you're supposed to be there for family, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever. That's how I see it, you know.
Right, right, right.
You got to work through whatever you have to work through.
Don't be. So now, I guess if we want to stay on the family side of it, I would like to jump to Amina and ask you, you know, because I know that you are the sort of the, you're the younger one of the family. And, oh, my God, how'd you happen? Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we're so sorry. We don't know what happened.
No, I got dropped. This is the reality. Like, I was right in the middle of asking a question.
We were really concerned up there for a minute. So let's pick up where left off. You said you wanted to
I was going to say, because I know the younger one in the family, and I know that the family dynamic provides a lot of guidance. So I guess I want to ask, because I know it can be tough. How does that impact your interaction with your peers?
Well, I just want to note that I mostly hang out with my family all the time, you know.
Right.
When I talk, it's so crazy because my family dynamic, we're, like, so close-knit that I really don't, like, go out to hang. So when I do speak to people who are my age and I'm talking to them about how I went to, like, an event or something with my family, everyone looks at me like I have, like, 8 heads, like, you were hanging out with who? You did what with who? You were hanging out with your mom? You were hanging out with your aunt? Like, you were hanging out with your cousin, your niece? Like, what kind of, that's crazy. But anyway, so hanging out with my peers and relating to my peers is rather difficult because a lot of them don't see what I see or have the mindset that I have because of the fact that I'm so close-knit to my family. Hence, you know, I have a different type of intimacy with my family rather than them. I was talking to one person who I'm associated with, and they were talking about how their family lives, like, right down the street, and they haven't seen them in almost, like, 3-4 years. And I'm just like, that's crazy. That's an insanity in my mind, but... I feel like with me being 26 and everything like that, a lot of my peers right now just want to party or, as they say, get lit and, you know, turn up and stuff like that, you know. Even my peers that are, like, kind of in the business aspect, because they're just not, like, you know, 25, 26, 28-year-olds just, like, living life or working, they're trying to build, like, a business. Even the ones that are trying to build a business are still trying to party really hard. And I can't relate to that because I don't do things like that. And a lot of them don't even, I feel like a lot of them want to build a business so they can have money to fund their partying and everything like that. But
right.
I don't think anybody's thinking about it in the future aspects of, okay, I'm 26 now, in 8 to 10 years, I'm going to be like 30, 32, what am I going to be standing upon at that moment? I'll never forget, me and my family, we went to like a business event, and we just went there to mingle and network, and there was this older brother that we might be doing business with. He asked me, because he was asking me what I was there for, and, you know, he was talking about what business did I have, and I told him about my family's business, and he said that I represented my family's business very well. And he asked me my age, and I told him, you know, my age, and he asked me what is making me right now in my life want to devote myself to my family's business. Because he said most people who are my age aren't even concerned about family or anything. They're just concerned about partying and everything like that. And I told him, my reply was that me pouring myself into my family's business is going to benefit me and my future generations, because I'm only going to be 26 for so long. And
right,
I don't
right.
think that it's worth sitting here, you know, putting income into partying rather than putting income into my family's business that 5 to 10 years from now can be incorporated and become world-renowned, and I can have generational wealth within my family and my
mm-hmm.
community, that hence I can pour into my people, rather than, oh, I turned up and wasn't that great and everything like that. I feel like my peers are caught up in moments. They're not really thinking about, okay, where am I going to be tomorrow? Or what am I going to be? Where am I going to be, you know, 5 years from now or 10 years from now? They're just thinking about what about tomorrow? Like, what about tonight? You know, so I think that's what breaks me apart from most of my peers. I don't want to say all, but most of my peers that I've associated with anyway have had that mentality. So, and besides, just like I said, I really hang out with my family. You know, I really don't go out like that. So when we have family parties, when I talk about going to a party, I'm talking about a party that my family's having, or, you know, things that we do together. So when I party with my family. So
right.
Most of my peers think that's crazy, but to me, that's great. So
right.
Yep.
Right. No doubt.
Now, two questions.
What do you think
about the concept of the American
you get 18, and you got to leave the house, and never come back for holidays. What do you think about this?
Well, I think that concept is mostly, like, Western, like, European, that once you get a certain age, you have to get the heck out, and you need to go start stuff on your own. Because I know from the studying of African history that the family infrastructure was made from people staying and building within their own families, and then that rippled out into a community, and then that rippled out into, you know, a nation and whatnot, you know.
Right,
so
right.
I think that that mentality has always been more like Westernized, Europeanized mentality, that, you know, once you get a certain age, you got to get out. Because I just don't see how, why would you kick me out? I'm an adult. I'm able. I can have a helping hand in the building of our family, rather than now it's you, I got to go, and now mom and dad are just in their house alone, and I only come around during holidays, and then other than that, I just leave. Like, we're supposed to be building all together, so that's what I was taught anyway.
Right.
And doesn't
it, like,
seem like
kind of counterproductive. You leave, and then your parents
end up getting older,
and then the struggle is who's going to come back and take care of mama.
Yeah, exactly. And the I feel like that's also devaluing you know, your parents and also the children as well. Like, once you get a certain age, I don't care about you anymore. So,
sure.
You know,
sure.
It's all, I see it like that as well. But, yeah, it's just the lack of connection and communication and, you know, just people being spiritually and emotionally bonded with family members with that whole mentality.
Indeed.
So, I'm not agreeing with that. Brother?
Yes, yes.
I'd like to say something about that, too, if you don't mind.
Please, come on with it.
Amina and I were just talking about this earlier today because we talk about African diaspora all the time. And we talk about how we have stepped away from it so far. And what I was remarking to her today is that we have been so influenced by our conquerors for more than over 200 years, over 2,000 years, closer to 5,000 years that we have been influenced by our conquerors and basically have taken on the Western persona where individualism, materialism, and self-centeredness is the rule of the day. So this new lifestyle has been a gaunt factor in which it erodes all communities, even theirs. It just doesn't work and doesn't provide any longevity at all, and that's been proven between Rome, Greece, and everybody else. Those civilizations have never lasted long with this disconnect that they have between community and family. We as Africans have a proven track record of our ancient life before our conquest that works and has been proven
right,
to work.
Right.
So we really just have to get into the habit of rejecting everything else and taking that back on into our lives.
Indeed. I agree.
And it starts with your own family.
I'm sorry. I know I'm in trouble.
Don't make me strangle you.
I hope you don't have like a nemesis named Sharon in your life.
Well, the good thing is that I don't. That's why I was saying to them, I was like, do I look like a Sharon?
I don't know. I ain't even seen nobody named that name. Anyway, my dear sister Marcia, would you like to add on to that?
I'm 5,000% with Marguerite, with Margot, because if you look at us, we have three different dynamics right here, right now.
Right.
You know, and it's working. Yeah, they get on my nerves sometimes, and I know I get on there sometimes, but my father used to say to us, if you're angry with somebody, you know, with your brothers and sisters, you're not supposed to go to bed mad at each other.
Indeed.
So my dad, he was a visionary before anybody else was a visionary. He believed in family being close, family being there for one another. Just got to do what you got to do.
Right. So now we're going to go deep into the problem. How did you approach your family and help deal with the problems of black people in America?
You say, how would you?
Or how did you approach your family? How does that help deal with the problems? How do you think that your personal family helps to deal with the problems of black people in America?
First of all, first thing that people need to do, black people in this world needs to do is stop trying to get over on each other.
Right, right.
You know, and let your word be your bond.
Right, right.
You know, don't stand there and say, I'm going to do something for you. And then when the time comes, you act like you didn't say you were going to do it. You got to be honest. You have to be open. And you have to be true. Like I said, you're going to falter from time to time. That's going to happen. But then that's when you say, I want this to work. So
right,
we need to
right.
talk about this. We need to straighten this little faux pas out. Get this fixed so we can move forward. But there's a lot of black people that I know that if you got a, I'm working a job. We work the job together.
Mm-hmm.
I make $15 an hour. You find out that I make 2 cents more than you do. You're trying to blast me in the back of my head because I'm making 2 cents more than you.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do stuff like that. You're not going to prosper. You're not going to move forward. You have to work together. Margo, is that my cue to say something?
Yes.
Okay, because that caught me completely and totally off guard. I was not. Well, in my opinion, we have a lot of work to do. The first thing that we need to do is we need to have a strong knowledge and understanding of who we are as the individual person first. You need to have a strong sense of your history, where you come from, because as they say, if you do not know where you've been, then you have absolutely no idea where you're going. So
right.
We need to do that first and have that understanding about where we've been and where we're going. And without that, and we lack that, most people, most of us in the black community lack our history, lack knowledge of self. We're very influenced. What's that saying? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we have to have an understanding of who we are and accept that, good, bad, or indifferent, because we all have our flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
But if you accept your flaws and work on them, then it's hard for people to penetrate you and use that against you to as a manipulative tool, because that's what people do. So if we understand that and relish in our blackness and our melanin that we were given, okay, because it was melanin that civilized the world, and it was melanin people that civilized the world and created everything. So we have the richest history of all people on the face of the planet. And when anybody wants to do anything, no matter what it is, they always come to us.
Right.
We devalue ourselves a lot. And we have a lot to offer and a lot to give and already have given to the world. So we have to understand that strength and power that we have and be proud of that. And let no one take that away from you. And that's what we continually do. And we fall into the indoctrination of our conqueror to continually hate each other and hate ourselves and devalue ourselves. And that's what we really need to focus on getting rid of. And that's something that we need to do for ourselves, by ourselves, without the influence of our conquerors, because we already know what our conqueror is going to do anyway.
Truth.
Amina?
Facts. So I'm in agreement with what my mom said, or Margo. You know, too many times have I come across it where, you know, even people who are my age still don't even understand the riches of our history. And, like, it's like you know, it amazes me that nobody even knows. Like, I was talking to someone who was talking about the feminist movement, and I'm not agreeing with, you know, the feminist movement because of certain historical things that's happened. And, you know, I'm talking to the sister about it, and she didn't even know about Sojourner Truth. And I was just like, how are you sitting here joining groups and stuff like that? I think that's another thing that we do, is that when someone starts talking about something that makes us feel good, we just join in on the group. And there's been too many times where our people have been victimized and taken advantage of within history, of just not knowing who we are, not understanding ourselves, and just, oh, this person sounds all right, let me just join them. And then we end up even deeper in a hole. And then we are trying to figure out how we got there while they're kicking the dirt over us to close the hole. And that's just been happening too many times. And just like she said, no one's looking back to gain clarity about what has happened. And I feel like mistakes are being continuously repeated, because nobody's saying, okay, let's look back and see what we did wrong so we can make it right. Everyone just keeps, oh, let's just continuously do the stuff that people have done in the past that have gotten us nowhere, and we keep ending up deeper and deeper in the hole. And the people, we are not trying to build any trust or any intimacy with each other. So building a community, you know, is hard, because no one's trying to build a community within their own family. And I think that building that trust and intimacy that you have with your brother, your sister, your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, you know, that's the first start, the first step in building the intimacy and the trust that you need to build a community, so we can have cultural cohesiveness and build businesses and everything like that within our community, so we all can thrive in our community. I was thinking about how one of my associates told me that from school I've never really changed as a person, and I really think that the reason why that is because of the fact that my family has cultural cohesiveness, where I don't have to go outside of myself, or I have to become someone that I don't necessarily want to be or have not been brought up to be in order to be able to survive or live. Everything that I need is right here with my family. So I don't need to necessarily change. And that's what cultural cohesiveness is. And I, you know, all my friends and peers from school have completely changed from who I remember them to be. And that's because their families aren't united. They don't have that, you know, unity within their family. So they may have had to do things, certain acts and everything like that, that made them have to change who they were. And I think that's something that we should definitely work on, because our future generations are drastically being affected by that. And I think we should definitely start doing that as parents. And even if you're not a parent, even if you're just an auntie, or you're a cousin, or a niece or a nephew, an older niece or a nephew, and you see where it's going and you want to make a change, then you can just reach out to your family members and say, listen, we should build with each other. And even though I know that some people can have problems, you know, with their family members, it's something that has to be done, because on the other side of that river that we're leading towards, it's a burning house.
Right.
So I'm just like, you know, either we're going to come together and make it, or, you know, united we stand, or divided we all fall. So, you know, which path are we going to take? I think that our people need to, like, set aside our egos.
There you go. That's the word.
And just say, listen, so what? Okay, yes, you may have burned me in the past, or yes, this may have happened between my mom or an auntie or your cousin. You know, we need to start seeing past that and saying, listen, we have to build and gain trust with each other. Because all these other communities are, it's sad, but all these other communities are thriving. You know, like I was talking to my friend, I was making him an example of cultural cohesiveness, and there was a grandmother, she's been living like in a Latin-Spanish community for like 30, 40 years, and she never had to learn English because everything that she needed was there. She trusted everybody there in that neighborhood, and they all helped each other when things weren't the best, and that's cultural cohesiveness. So I'm like, she didn't have to give up her culture or stop speaking a language or put herself in a position to have to, I have to do something to survive. And I think that that's what we need, because this individualism thing is destroying us. So we definitely need to come together and just put our egos aside and say, let's just build with each other.
That was beautiful. So I want to ask you the last couple of questions as we start to play, because I know you all have to do what you got to do tomorrow, and so do I. Do you believe that we as black people in America should have an equivalent to Israel for black people? Now, what I mean by that is my dad came into my heart as a child. He said, forgive the word I'm hearing you. But he said, son, all of that black organization stuff is cool, but at the end of the day, we need Israel for Negro. And he didn't say anything. So my question to you is, do you believe that we should have something like that?
I believe that we should have something like that. Everybody else in the world has it. Everybody else in the world has their pride. And when you hear people talk about their cultural backgrounds, everybody is proud of where they come from. When you hear the Dutch talk about it, and you know, what I lament when I'm driving around, I see where they're having the Italian festival, the Polish festival, the Dutch festival, the Greek festival. Everybody has their festival. You never see or hear about a black festival. Where's our cultural pride? Where's our pride in our homeland that we want to go to and where we look as to being the center of who we are and where we begin? We don't have that. Everybody else does, and nobody wants us to have it. And they don't want us to have it for a good reason. Because they know our power. They know our worth. They know what we can do if we were to have something like that. But we can't look to other people to get us out of this. This is something that we need to do ourselves, for ourselves, by ourselves. It really has to be done that way. Because other than that, everyone else is just going to come in and manipulate the situation like they always have. You know? So, yes, that is something that we need.
Thank you, sister. That was well said. Sister Marcia. I don't think people know that you also have many talents. I mean, you cut hair, you bake, and you also put together electronic parts, and people do not understand that. Infrastructure is important to us in the BAIO and for Black African organizations. Can you please speak to infrastructure and our opportunity, you as a family, and then ultimately us as African people?
Let me see how I can put this. You have to start out, a foundation.
Right.
That foundation, when you're putting this foundation together, needs to be a strong foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be totally
connected to where you want to put it, and then build from there.
Right, right.
Now, dealing with the infrastructure, you have to start out small and grow.
Right, right.
You take your time and do it correctly, you won't have too many holes. And if you have a hole, you have someone that will help you fix that hole or repair that hole.
Right.
We're going to hit the electronics light thing. You have to know what you're doing. And if you don't be afraid to ask somebody for some help.
Well, that was well laid. That was very well laid. I knew that you would come that way because I just know you just know you're the corner of the phone.
You're gonna get it. And I just want to piggyback on that a little bit.
Please do.
In the sense that if we take a look at some of the greatest wonders of the world, which are found in Africa, pyramids that have existed for millions of years, that's the type of foundation we should be looking to build.
Correct. Exactly. And they started out slow, and they took their time and did it methodically. They made sure what they were creating was going to last forever.
Right, right.
And that's what we need to do as a nation trying to come together. You got to work out the quirks, but everybody needs to be on the same page. If you're not on the same page, you need to get out or get on the same page.
Right.
What they say, get off the pot. All right, brother.
Because you know, I know if I was in the group, you'd have said the whole thing.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay, so last to bring it on home.
Excuse me, Brother Daru. Amina wanted to put a little bit in there with that.
Please do.
I just wanted to say that when it comes to building and infrastructure, I really think that we need to start getting our new generations into having skills to build an infrastructure. Because I don't think that any of the new generation knows how to even survive without handouts. And I'm not necessarily saying that somebody needs to be on a certain government program or something like that. I'm just talking about having the skill set to be able to take care of yourself. Like certain arts like carpentry and even the building and welding of metals, the creations of glass and things like that, they're like far to none who are people of African descent who do that now. I feel like the skill set that we had during, even though the skill sets that we had because of being obtained as slaves in this country was forced upon us, instantaneously we became the most skilled peoples, like, on the planet. And that became a threat to white society immediately because of the fact that we have generations of people who know how to build. They know how to sew. They know agriculture. They know how to build everything. So... So they know how to do everything like that. So with things like that happening, those things are lost and dying because, like, my grandmother, she's the one who taught me how to garden. So
she's gardened, and her grandfather taught her how to. Her grandfather taught her how to. No, her father taught her how to garden, and he's big in agriculture, so he knows all the tricks that you can do without needing anyone to help you. And things like skills like that are lost within time because people have thought that, you know, if you know those skills, then that's bad. You know, that's one of the reasons why the unions did what they did, because they didn't want to employ the best of the best, which would be people of African descent, to do the works that they did. They wanted to give those to, you know, white individuals, of course, but I'm just saying just pointing out that those skills that our ancestors had at that time were extremely valuable. And they got lost throughout the ages because people automatically associated that if I do things like that, then I'm going to be deemed as someone who's unworthy or a slave. And I feel like the idea of the value is if, as long as I have so much technology, then I have all these things. I know how to use the iPad. I know how to use my smartphone. I have a PlayStation 4. That's where the value of the newer generation is. Like, it really upsets me that people are teaching their children how to use a smartphone, but most little kids don't even know how to take care of themselves. They don't even know how to cook. They don't even know how to clean. I was taught how to cook and everything like that when I was 9 years old. I was out there in my grandmother's backyard sowing and hoeing soil my life away when I was a little girl. And, you know, even though at that time it seemed horrible, but those skills were actually very valuable, and I grow my family food now. So, you know, with things, with skills like that, you can build a nation, but if you don't have, if you're not teaching your children skills to be able to do that, then it's not going to happen.
Right. See, now I'm learning from the things, and I ask you the next question. See, you and I had a long conversation about soil and the fact that the soil in America is missing nutrients that contribute to people being overweight sickness, disease,
and how you add
the missing ingredients and missing minerals to the soil that you use to grow the products that you may feed your family as well as maybe make your pies with. And so can you please speak to that? Because sometimes people, like we had this fool on our radio show, and he goes, you know, we're talking about building an independent nation and gathering people. And this fool goes, America's prime real estate. And we're like, listen, before you say America's prime real estate, do you understand how depleted America is? Now, nobody is saying that you can't make money here or build anything here. But the fact of the matter is, when you talk about Africa, when you talk about all that is being stolen from it, I just want you to speak to that, if you could.
Well, I don't know who that guy was, but he was so wrong. And the richest soil is actually in this country, in the world, is actually in Africa. Because I remember I was reading an article where they were digging up soil from Africa to bring it to other countries. So I don't know what he was doing. But when it comes to the soil here and obesity and the lack of vitamins, that's because of new technological agriculture techniques. Farmers are no longer putting back what the plants are taking out of the soil, because depending on what you're growing, it desires certain things. Like just like I was explaining to my cousin, whatever a vegetable or fruit is rich in, that's what they're going to eat the most out of in the soil. So if you're eating broccoli and broccoli is rich in calcium and magnesium and manganese, that is what it's going to take from the soil, which means that you have to put that back through natural means, which means that you're going to have to find a fertilizer or make your own using the techniques that nature provides via leaves and the composition and the decomposition of the leaves and making sure you turn it and rotating your crops so you're not growing the same thing in the same place every single year. That's another reason why our soil is depleted. Our soils are depleted with so many minerals. And it's not just minerals, it's also certain metals, because us as electric beings, bioelectric beings, we need metals in our body to be able to function. We need copper. We need iron. We need, you know, things like that. We need gold and silver in our bodies in order for our cells to be able to ignite electricity and the dendrites and everything in your brain to work. So, you know, those things are completely almost gone in agriculture. And I say to people that if you want to get the richest foods, then you're going to have to grow it yourself, because not only is that causing people to be nutritionally low in what they're eating, but we also have to worry about genetically engineered foods that corporations like Monsanto are creating, and they're just throwing it out there to grow so people can eat. Mm-hmm, most people mm-hmm. can't even identify what a GMO is or what it looks like. But just like I told my friends, that if you come across a fruit that says that it's seedless, nature never produces anything that cannot reproduce itself, i.e. seed.
Right.
So if you're coming across seedless grapes, seedless strawberries, seedless watermelon, seedless squash, anything that doesn't have seeds within it is genetically engineered to not have seeds within it.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
GMOs is the biggest contributor to obesity, because when you take in that food, it's like abomination of nature, because of the fact that they're mixing plant genes with viruses, bacteria, and other animal genes that would never copulate in nature, ever. Like, for example, the FDA just released a strawberry that's going to be released in stores soon. It's a strawberry that can be grown all year long, and they took the genes of strawberries and mixed it with Alaskan salmon genes, because Alaskan salmon has the ability to not freeze when they are under frozen lake water. So they took those genes and put it in a strawberry so that they can grow the strawberry in the tundra all year long. Now, we all know that strawberries are a summer fruit,
mm-hmm.
and they only grow in warm places. So knowing that, people should be concerned, but most people don't know, because the FDA and all the USDA and all these agriculture food pharmaceutical companies keep it on the hush-hush about things. And that's another reason why obesity is bad. And obesity is really bad for our people, because most of us live in communities that are food deserts, and a food desert is where you have absolutely no access to fresh, healthy, you know, food. Most of us live in communities where there's chicken spots, there's like bodegas, and there's like little, you know, Arab corner stores. So
mm-hmm.
I see
mm-hmm.
people going there and shopping there all the time. So
mm-hmm.
the food
mm-hmm.
is really bad. The soil is terrible. When it comes to me and my gardening, I make my own compost, so I make sure that I have tons of worms in my garden. Just to let anyone know who's going to start a garden, if you have soil in your backyard that's rich with worms, that's a very good sign that that soil is healthy, just to let you know. Because too many times people come across soil that is dead, and there is dead soil. And because of what farming erosion is doing, it's really messing up our planet as a whole. And it takes, for healthy soil to exist and be done by nature, it almost takes 1,000 years for nature to do that. But if for topsoil, which is the richest part of the soil that we live in, like that we use, but if we as man do it with traditional agriculture, you know, the natural fertilization of soil with composting and putting back those healthy, you know, living bacteria and worms and everything that live in the soil that we benefit from, you can do that within weeks and even months. So we have to get, just like I said before, we have to get back into the skill set of taking care of ourselves, because there's power in agriculture. There's power in knowing how to grow your own food. There's power in knowing how to, you know, enrich your own soil. There's a lot of power in that, and I think our people need to get back into those old skill sets.
Indeed. Thank you very much. Well, we're going to wind this to a close. Did you, sisters, have any last thing to say before we close out? Hello? Hold on, don't tell me I dropped. Oh, looks like they dropped. Okay, brothers, I'm going to wait for them to call back in and officially end it. But these are, listen, these three sisters are my sisters in the mastermind group. They are not only my sisters that I meet with once a week, but I love these sisters. And here they go. Let me get back.
You did.
You guys got knocked on? Yeah, Adley.
But we're back. Back in action.
I was like, hello?
First, I thought it was me. Yeah.
So, anyway, is there any last thing? And let me see if, I do have one. Let me see if you want to ask some questions.
Call up some questions.
I was listening, brother.
Okay, I got you. Sister, this is my good brother, Holland. He's a member of the Black African Infrastructure Organization. Actually, he's a founder.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Fantastic. How are you?
Nice to meet you all, too. I love the show.
Thank you.
Did someone say anything before we close out?
Well, I have a question, but it has nothing to do with what we were talking about. It's in reference to you.
Sure.
You never told me what size cheesecake you wanted. Because the day is coming up, and I want to make them.
Did she say cheesecake? Oh, wait a minute now. Now we're talking.
And first, I thought that was Brother Davu's alter ego or something.
Brother, I say dynamite. Listen. My wife, I had to go back and get two of those cheesecakes.
You had me a cheesecake. It ain't no need to say anything else.
Listen, you being from Brooklyn, you can relate to this. They haven't really set the bar high in the juniors in a while.
Yeah, right. I believe that. I was told that 12 years ago when this person had tasted one of my cheesecake because somebody was talking to him, and then he said nobody can beat juniors, and I said to him, I said, you haven't had one of mine, baby.
Exactly.
And I gave it to him. He's like, you're right. He was bowing. He said, you're right. Nothing on you.
Because most people, if they used to eat junior cheesecake, they probably don't know what a good cheesecake tastes like.
Well, they use a lot of processed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also heavy, you know?
It's not supposed to be heavy like that.
Everything that we do is all natural. Like, you know, the foods that we make, It's all natural, make everything from scratch. No GMOs, everything comes from scratch. So when I get done, I'll be tired.
You got me sold. I'm ready to put my order in. I guess I'll hook up with you, Minister.
No doubt. I'm going to bring some down when I come down there. We have to come down there to see the tumors are So, what's it called? We can definitely make that happen.
Yo, Minister, you are going to be so upset when you listen to your archive. Your voice is echoing badly throughout the whole show.
I know.
I don't know why he's doing that. Usually that happens when somebody's listening to the show on a computer or on another audio source. So if everything is muted or off, it should be echoing like that. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, sister, did y'all want to say one thing on the show?
I want to say that I enjoyed myself. I was kind of nervous. This is Marcia. But it wasn't. It was fun. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, y'all should do this more often.
You think we did good?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Plus, we've been trying to get a sister show together for the longest.
Really? Yeah.
For some reason, it's hard getting the sisters together to do a show. I don't know what the problem is.
What were we just talking about? The foundation. You gotta work at it, you know. So you gotta still keep plugging at it, and it happens.
Yeah.
I think we made some strides though, like me and Minister got to, what is it, four sisters? Three or four? Three. Oh, you're talking about that we have in the class? We got four now. Okay, that's cool. We might get something started soon.
Okay. Well, one of my greatest loves, personally, is that I like teaching children, and I really am so animated about teaching African history. I think it's the most beautiful history in the world. I am so proud of my African heritage. I exude it. And I want to make sure that when I walk into a room, anywhere I go, especially if it's a lot of white people there, that they know that I am proud of Africa and being African.
Yes, yes. Indeed.
And I want our children to have that same uncompromising confidence and love for who they are and being people kissed of the sun.
Right.
That's what I would like to see, and that is where we will see the change in who we are from this low self-esteem, low self-worth situation that we've been living in, especially in this country for the last 500 years. We can start to erase and repair the damage that has been done to us. And it all starts with the nucleus, which is the black family.
Right.
And we've got to get that back.
Excuse me? Is that you singing?
Oh, no, that's me humming. I'm sorry.
Do you want to give a last word to me?
I'm in agreement with what my mom said. I really want us to know our history so we can learn from it and we can grow from it. And I want to see. I'm hoping that I can come across peers who are my age who think like me so we can actually get some stuff done. Because, you know, I know, like, I don't know what generation people call me. I'm offended when people call me a millennial. I don't like that name, but I guess that's what I am.
You know, I didn't do that.
I don't like that. I don't like being called that. I'm not a group kind of person anyway. I've always been, like, a loner in school and everything like that, so I don't like to be, like, pushed into, like, a group. But I hope that I can associate with people who are my age so we can actually get things done and we can learn from each other and build with each other and help each other so we can make our future generations, my future generations, better. Because my future generations is the future of black people. So I want that to be amazing rather than, repeating the same thing over and over again.
Right, right.
So that's what I want. I want things to be good. And I want things to be great for our people. I want us to thrive. I want us to be wonderful. And that's what I want.
Indeed.
I'd like to send you some information via email, just something that I wrote about the ancient African family and community, just so you can have a copy of it. Is that okay?
I would love that. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right, sis. This won't be the last time. But I am grateful that you came here today. And we shall visit again.
Yes, we love being here.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Okay, I guess I'll be Saturday morning.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I need to be getting a text message from you tomorrow.
Have a great day.
Okay, wait. Yes, ma'am.
I need to be getting a text message from you tomorrow.
Actually, I just want two of the six hours.
Brother Dawood, you can text her, but I have everything set up on the website. So if you'd like to look at it and assess what size that you want, just go on the website and assess from there.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay. All right. Have a good.
Have a great night.
Take care. Bye bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye bye. And that's going to do it for us, brothers and sisters. Salaam alaikum, hotep, peace, black African power.